I am, I guess, feeling sort of privileged to be up here. I was asked to teach. It is a privilege, and Cleo didn't have to pay me. I should have held out a little longer. Exactly, but it is a privilege to be up here, and it's always a little humbling. But let's get going. My name is Todd Watchers, and that's for those who don't know me. And if I don't know your first name, I guess I'll have to, we're going to refresh my memory as I get going. We are going to be discussing, it's not a study of the book of Acts. If you read the itinerary, does everybody have one of the itineraries? If you don't, we have Bob Burright back here. A lovely assistant. I was stretching that out a long way. But we have our itinerary, and as it says, this isn't necessarily a study of the book of Acts. What we're studying are a lot of actions that are taking place in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a very long book. Matter of fact, I was jokingly sitting down the other day looking through some old study material that I had, and it dawned on me, you know, every class I've ever sat in has never ended in the first semester. You always had to go to the next one, the next quarter, in order to get it done, because there's a lot covered. But this one is a study, and as you can see, we got it. I've tried to condense it down. I'm hoping that we can cover the material. I'm very excited about this. Before we get going, though, I'd like to take a moment to pray. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Almighty God in heaven, we thank you for this day. And we thank you that we are here together. We thank you that we live in this nation where we have the freedom to come together unmolested. Almighty God, we thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you that we are children of yours, adopted in Christ. And I just pray that you would help us open up our minds and our hearts and to truly understand what it is you want us to know, that we can know your will, do your will, and please you who is our Heavenly Father. And Almighty God, we thank you for what you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, tonight, as we get going to the intro, we'll have to at least, I guess I'd be remiss if I did not at least go through the itinerary here with everyone. Tonight is the 999, September 9th, 2009. We're going to do a little intro here. I'm going to try and go through, hopefully get a couple key points, some questions to keep in your mind as we go through the study so that you can sort of understand where I'm coming from as I've put this lesson together. This lesson was started out and tried out on during the summer on our college age class. And if there are any, I don't know if any of them are here. I think they've all moved on to college, so they're probably thankful. But put some things together. Going to go through some questions. And after that, before we get out of here, I'd like to start off with one of the best acts that starts off in chapter 1, which is this Jesus' ascension. And in a discussion about his return. And we'll go into that a little bit more here in just a second. As we're going through and we're looking at the things that are taking place in the book of Acts, the actions that we're going to be looking at, we see that God is performing a lot of that action. He performs it through his Holy Spirit. And what's really neat is that as the church forms, as we see the church form, and that church is this church, that church that started about 2,000 years ago is this church. And I want us to understand and relate to these brethren who are in this first church of Christ. I want us to understand that because it's key to the study and a lot of these things that are going on. I'm not looking at the actions just because okay, they amaze me. I'm not looking at the actions just because I think that, well, you know, that's a little stranger than fiction. I'm looking at these actions because I want us to understand that God loves this church. Now, we know that. We understand that. We hear that. But Todd Watcher's here. Sometimes I forget that. I overlook that. And so when I'm reading the book of Acts, sometimes I separate it from myself. Oh, it's a story of long ago. But this is a story that is about our heritage of the Church of Christ, because this is the taproot, the beginning. And so this is why I think it's really neat to see and understand how much God loves this church. And as we know that he gave Jesus, his son, for it. But then as we go into Acts, what we see is now he is forming the bride of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's not an easy thing either, as we're going to see. But we'll get to that in a couple of weeks when we get to the persecution side of things. I'll let y'all read the purpose that you see at the top of the thing. And we'll get a little take on that. Now, you noticed as we go into the study, we have 2 Chronicles. And yes, you note that is not in the book of Acts. 2 Chronicles is actually not exactly some of the most exciting reading in the Bible, if you've ever just gone through Chronicles. But 2 Chronicles 16, 9, the first sentence of verse 9 is very, very beautiful. Now, this verse was introduced to me by John Osborne, or I'll say it back, Mike Osborne. Mike Osborne was one of our dear brothers. He helped to found this little church family. He died several years ago from cancer. And I remember one time I was about somewhere right there in that aisle, and it was after a service. And John came running over to me, Mike came running over to me. And Mike, when he got over to me, now, first of all, he had no mic. Mike wasn't really much of a runner. I mean, he was an easygoing guy. He was very methodical in everything he did and thought about. But he was excited. And he got excited about a couple of things. Mike got excited about baseball and Christmas and God's Word. And one day he came up to me and he had this verse. And he said, "Todd, read this and tell me what you think about it." I said, "Okay." "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." It's a beautiful, beautiful verse in the middle of 2 Chronicles. And it sounds like something that belongs in Psalms or Proverbs, but it's very beautiful and it's powerful. And here's what Mike said to me that day. He said, "Todd, you know what? I've read past that I don't know how many times in my life, but you know what? I learned something about God when I stopped and I saw that verse for the first time." And he says, "There's all kinds of verses like that in the Bible." I said, "You're right." And so I've kept that in my mind. I have a note in my Bible at the top of the page, on this page for 2 Chronicles 16:9, where I remind myself that it was our brother, Mike Osborne, that pointed it out very enthusiastically. I wrote that out too. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth." It's an action. "That he may strongly support," another action, "those whose heart is completely his." I started thinking about that. I said, it's not that he's going to support. It says he will strongly support. And it's not those whose heart are partially his, but those whose heart is completely his. So then you have to ask the question, how do I become completely His in my heart? So that's what I, Todd Watchers, have been asking myself for years. Well, when we come to the book of Acts, we see people becoming completely His. We have Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, whose heart was completely God's. Did God strongly support Jesus? Oh, yes. No doubt about it. Well, then, the next group of people we run into are going to be the apostles here in Acts. That's what we're about to look at here in chapter 1. And these guys have been through a lot. And they're not perfect. They're just men who are like me. I find that hard to believe sometimes. But it's the truth. So when I look at these guys and I say to myself, what is it about Todd Watchers? If I was plugged in back then, how would I react? What would be my actions? I don't know. I'd probably be too tempted to be a lot like Peter. Remember when Peter, he denied Christ 3 times. All right? I think about those things. And I'm fearful of if my life was in a situation where I felt like I was in jeopardy and I was in his shoes back then, or in his case, his sandals, I probably would be, well, a little nervous. Because it's easy for me to sit here today in a country where we have the freedom that we do, and I can sit here and talk about Jesus. I can go to work, have lunch with one of my coworkers, and actually discuss Jesus with them without fear of the crow or the rooster crowing. And so I start thinking, what was it like back then? And so that goes into the next point. We have these actions that are going on, but I want us to understand as we go through Acts, and I'm going to try my best to use what was known history and paint a picture for us. And as we paint that picture, I want us to get into their time, the politics that were going on, who's in power, Rome, but who's doing all the politicking in Jerusalem. That's very key. What's going on in the back rooms? What's going on in the synagogues? What's going on down on the corner? It's very key to what's going on at this time. And God picked this time for His church to begin being formed. Now, so we understand that, and that's where we're going to head. There's a lot of things, other things to understand. There's some history or the heritage of the Israelites that needs to be understood, because that plays heavily into what's going on right now. The other thing is we have to think about the struggles of the Israelites as they're dealing with the whole area that they're physically in, with enemies, the Romans. They're divided amongst themselves. There's a lot of things going on. And then you get down to what would have been like if Todd Watchers' family was back then, trying to raise my family in Jerusalem or just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And what was it like for an individual? It's challenging. I'm just stop and think. It's too easy for us to go down to the grocery store, and I can get probably, I don't know how many different types of fruit just by going down the grocery store and looking through, and I can get fruit from all over the world. And back then, you know, trade was a big thing, but there wasn't guaranteed you could go down to the grocery store and get any kind of fruit or food for your family. It just wasn't guaranteed. It wasn't something that you could just say, hey, go down to Kroger's. And so there's a lot of things that we take for granted in our time. We have to set ourselves apart from our own society and sort of think about where we're going to our early brethren in this first church. So I'm going to try and paint some pictures as we're going through each of these studies. I'm going to try and set it up so that we see where they are. I'm hoping to see, at least get to an understanding of where they are and why they make certain choices and why the actions that they take are really astounding. I mean, they're totally phenomenal. There's something totally different than what's going on at that time. All right. Now, with that said, what else we got here? Oh, okay. Here's another thing to keep in mind. We want to understand God's will and the love for the church. Realize what he is doing in Acts. That can also be applied to today. Realize what he is doing at the Woodland Oaks Church of Christ. We have hindsight to the church in Acts. Do we trust God's foresight for his present day church? And so as we go through, I'm hoping that I can bring us in and out, into their time, back out of the time, back over to here again, and see what, really find out that there's a lot more in common than we realize. And the key thing, and we go right here to Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. That's the number one in common thing that we have with a church that began about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Now, anybody in here that old? 2,000 years ago. For 2,000 years, the Church of Christ has suffered but remained strong. They've kept that common bond, and the common bond is Jesus Christ. So, that's really neat, and I think I'm just starting to understand it. I'm hoping that I can convey in a very sincere and passionate way, that what is in Acts is more than just a story or a historical record. But what is there is alive. And it is full of things that God, I truly believe, that he wants his people today to see and to act upon. And that's where I'm trying to head us to. All right. Couple other verses to think about. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, many people have this memorized. Many of us know what it is. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 is one of those verses that I think is just incredibly focusing. It's powerful. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That is a verse that we will visit again in a couple lessons down the road. But it's an incredible verse. It's incredibly focusing. All right. So quickly, I'm going to go through the itinerary for the lessons because it's trying to cram a lot in. A lot of cool stuff going on here. All right, here we go. Now, tonight we'll go into the ascension, discuss the return a little bit here of Jesus, because that's key to the Church of Christ. Because, first of all, with the ascension, we don't serve a martyred Lord, right? We serve a risen Savior. Amen? So we have to talk about the ascension because that's just awesome. This is a record of him ascending into heaven. Man, I think that's just awesome. I can't even imagine. I'd be sitting here with my mouth hanging down to the ground. But we'll talk about that here in more in a second. Now, next week, we're going to go and we're going to discuss the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we're going to talk about the tongues of fire, right? They were like tongues of fire that came down and settled upon them. But there's something more to it just coming down on them. There was a power there. And there's different measures of the Holy Spirit being given to men. That's definitely evident in the New Testament. And so we're going to discuss that and look at some other scriptures that aren't listed here. I just got to sort of give you. So if you want to read ahead, that's good stuff. Just take a look at these. Read ahead before each one. That'd be great. All right, and then we're going to discuss the crowd, the first crowd that is addressed after the apostles received the Holy Spirit. The transformation of this crowd, their hearts, is another awesome awesome point in the birth of this church that we are part of. And we'll discuss that more. And then in Acts chapter 3, I call it God is doing this. Well, I think if you read any of this, you read ahead, or you've read it many times, refresh the memory, take a look at it, and you'll see exactly why I call it God is doing this. Because this isn't being done by man. Now, of course, we threw in here just for everyone's convenience and mainly for my memory, that there are the first Wednesdays in which we have the potato dinner before service, and then we have the singing, so I threw that on here. And then after that one, the first one in October, we'll go to Peter the Apostle's persecution and prison breaks. And there's a lot of stuff. That's going to be an interesting night. I'm probably cramming in more than we can get done, but I'm hoping we can get it all done. But that's a pretty good one there. Then we're going to come to one of, I don't even know how to say it, one of the heroes of the faith, and that is Stephen, the first martyred Christian that we know of, recorded in the Bible. And Stephen is a hero of the faith. And I think God, reading a lot of commentaries and always looking upon Stephen comes out of nowhere, because to our knowledge, he's not listed before. And then all of a sudden, he goes through this long, drawn-out discussion with these people who are just gnashing their teeth at him. But he lays out this beautiful history of the Israelites, the Hebrews. And then, knowing that he is before an unfriendly crowd that has... We'll discuss the politics at that point in as Stephen's life, that has some authority over him. I'll discuss that and explain that at another time. But Stephen still takes on what is death. He ends up being stoned. And he doesn't do what Todd Watchers would probably do. Personally, I tell you, if I was getting stoned, I got a wee bit of Irish in me. I don't know if y'all know that. But I would probably be picking stones up, and I would be throwing them back. In all seriousness, that's probably what I would do, because I have that temper. Jennifer knows about it. So anyway, but it's just, I can't even imagine being stoned and what Stephen does. Read what Stephen's doing while he's being stoned. It's just incredible. Then we're going to discuss Saul/Paul. He gets brought into the light. We know about the road to Damascus. But you can't overlook this awesome action and the fact that God chooses this man to reveal himself to him in a miraculous way and convert him to Christ. Because, well, as I say, the rest is history. Well, it's history, and we can read it, because, I mean, Paul is a tremendous brother in Christ. And I look forward to the day when I can visit with these brothers. Once again, and we'll have another potato dinner and singing on that first Wednesday of November. And then we'll discuss then to the Gentiles, because we know it first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. We'll discuss all that. Another very awesome thing. Cannot overlook that, because my heritage are a bunch of Gentiles. And so I'm thankful that now I'm a Christian. It's just awesome. You can't overlook that. And there's a lot of neat things that happen with that, because there's a lot of bigotry that has to be overcome, and God overcomes it. Anyways, it will be November 18th will be our follow-up and a conclusion to this study, and we'll get to that. All right. Are there any questions from the class? No, I'm kidding. I don't consider myself a teacher. I consider myself a facilitator, at least I hope that, a facilitator of discussion. And I know I've been doing a lot of talking, but I'm trying to get the intro out. I'm trying to give you a little idea of how Todd Watchers might be thinking and feeling, besides the fact that I'm a little nervous, I mean, please, I do know that I recognize. I've been here for a long time. Jennifer and I came here in August of 1995. And I don't know what happened, but we, somewhere along the way, we had three kids. But we are blessed. And we're blessed with this church family who has helped us, who has guided us, encouraged us, has given us hope, prayed for us. It's just awesome, right? You agree? Yep. So I realize that as I stand up here, I look out there and I know a lot of these brothers and sisters that I've been in Bible classes before and Bible studies, and I know y'all's wisdom and knowledge. And so when I stand up here, I don't think of myself as a teacher. So I hope to pull and draw in some of that awesome knowledge. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Now, Acts chapter 1, as we discuss the actions being taking place in Acts, I mean, you really have to stop and think about this. All right? Jesus, approximately 43 days before this moment that we're about to read about, he was crucified and placed in a tomb. 3 days later, he's risen again. It says here that it makes it sound like it was intermittently, he kept reappearing to the apostles, to the disciples, over a 40-day period. He sat down and he had meals with them. That's important because they're not seeing a ghost. They're with the Lord and Savior who is in the flesh again after death on a cross. And he's reappearing to them. And it says here, showing many convincing proofs. And that unto itself is sometimes too lightly overlooked by us because we weren't there. We're like, okay, how many doubting Thomases are there? I'm a doubting Todd. Because I would be like Thomas. Would you not be like... Quit pulling my leg, Bogan. That isn't funny. Jesus is dead. That isn't funny. You know, you'd be sitting there... Wouldn't you do that? You'd be sitting there going, that isn't funny. What are you guys... Until I can put my finger in the hole. I mean, you can understand Thomas, right? Well, that's what... I can see all that. I can see all this going on in this room. Can you imagine if he was able to stand, I don't know, personally, when Jesus appeared all of a sudden and then said, Thomas, I would have just hit the floor. I would have been out. That would have been it. Pass out. But, I mean, this isn't small stuff. This isn't something that we can overlook. And that's what I'm trying to convince us as we go into this study of Acts. Because this is Todd Watchers talking to himself. When I'm doing these classes, I'm trying to tell Todd, listen to this. Stop and read that again. And then about the fourth time, it's starting to sink in. All right? Jesus is risen from the dead. And he is appearing and he's having meals and he's talking with these disciples. This is an act of God. So anyways, let's read. I could start in chapter 1, or verse 1, but I put down 2. But that's just because there's a key point here that I wanted to catch on. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, They were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Okay, let's stop right there. What are the apostles thinking, or what are they thinking about right here? What's that? Yeah, is it a kingdom of heaven, though? That's a kingdom down here on earth, right? Let's get the kingdom of David back together again. Yeah, I mean, they're thinking, these are, I mean, you got to stop and think about it, because I know Todd Watchers is not far from there. Because I'm thinking, all right, give me a big shiny silver sword, big shield. I'm ready to throw down with some of these Romans. Let's take this place back. I mean, because we've got a king who came back from the dead. God is on our side. Let's go. You know, and now you got to stop and think here. This isn't hard for them to really be thinking. I really don't think. I mean, go back to the stories they've grown up with. These people have been raised, right? They have been raised. Day after day, they have been raised with the stories of King David. They've been raised going all the way back to Moses. They've been raised, I mean, they've learned all these great conquering heroes. And God was on their side, right? And what was God always telling them? Be strong and courageous. So it's not hard for these guys still not to quite get it, because they're still thinking earthly kingdom. Now the kingdom of Israel will be restored, and all others will fear us because God is on our side. I don't blame them for thinking this way. Sometimes it's easy to go, would you guys just get it? Of course, the only thing is that we understand because we've got the hindsight 2020, right? So what you got, brother?
The other thing is they, if you look at what they're seeing at this point, they're all Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know God's plan to include the Gentiles.
Yep.
And obviously, these are the apostles close to Jesus as anybody can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a key point. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a very key point. Actually, we'll discuss that a little more down the road, because when we get to the point, there's a, you know, you got to stop and think when. Peter had to have the, he had this vision three times about the sheet coming down. We're going to discuss that a little more down the road, because then it comes to the Gentiles, and Peter was still having a tough time with this. And we see it when he gets back to Jerusalem after being with a centurion and his family. Woo! So there's Elton, what you got there, brother?
You think about Jesus' capability that he demonstrated to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even better yet.
He could take a little bit of food and feed 5,000 people. Can you imagine the potential that they saw and the leader that had those capabilities?
You know, that's sort of funny, because when you think about it, that's exactly on task. You know, a lot of these movies, the classic ones, what happens whenever somebody discovers some great awesome power, you know, some ancient power buried in a pyramid or some alien spaceship is discovered? What's the first thing everybody wants to do? Man, get a hold of that thing. We need that. We need that on our side. We need that for our military. And that, we can rule the world. No one can touch us. And that's exactly, us humans think like that. We're thinking, whoa. And that's a good point, because you got to admit, if I can't die and if my wounds can be fixed like that, this ain't, might not be a bad deal after all. Yeah. So you can't blame these brothers for thinking this way. But let's continue on here in verse 7.
Cleo?
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Well, we're still working with you, brother. We love you. No, but I know exactly where you're coming from. Yes, sir.
They underwent a tremendous change during this 40 days. Prior to that time when Jesus was crucified, they were all discouraged. They went and hid. They knew the world was coming again. Hiding in upper rooms with the doors locked. After his resurrection and after he begins to have these meetings with them over this 40 days, they become transformed in the sense that from that time, they very boldly went out. After Pentecost, they very boldly went out. They had opportunities. A lot of them were martyred. They had opportunities to say, oh, no, wasn't true. I've been lying. Every one of them went to their death proclaiming that Christ was resurrected. They knew it. They had been a witness of it. But the true test came at Pentecost. That's where, when they received the Holy Spirit,
yeah. Well, I mean, you got to admit it, things were a bit of a downer at that point. You're right. I mean, and they're humans. I mean, that's the thing. There's nothing really miraculous about these. These are young men who are scared to death because now their master, who was doing miraculous things, all of a sudden, whoa! And there you go. So here we are, 43 days later. And let's go to verse 7. And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Well, anybody want to take a guess on who the two men are in white? You know, it seems like that pops up. Aren't you doing a lesson like that, Elton? Yes, I think so. Was this in your lesson somewhere talking about these two guys here?
The last Sunday of this
month. I don't want to jump into your lesson too much, but we're going to have to touch it just a little.
It
now, you got to remember now, they're out here, they're out, they're standing outside. It's about a Sabbath journey, which my understanding was, I was looking through the reference here, and it said about 3,000 3,000 feet or something like that. I don't know how you walk it, but anyway, some people walk faster, some people don't. But they're standing outside the city and they're in this clearing or whatever, and this is going on. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus is going up. Now, the previous 40 days and then the 3 days were really a downer, and a lot of things have been, you've seen a lot of stuff go on. The last 40 days have been sort of just crazy. I mean, when you're sitting there eating with your Lord and Savior, who still has the scars upon him, and you still got to be thinking to yourself, is this really happening? Well, now all of a sudden, he ascends into heaven. And he says, you're going to be given the Holy Spirit. I don't know if they fully understood what that meant, but they're about to. But he ascends into heaven, and I don't know about y'all, don't you think that was a little unexpected? I don't think Jesus said, hey, by the way, stand back. This is, I want to knock y'all over here. Hold on. Get ready. All of a sudden, he starts ascending up. I mean, there's no other information. He just starts going up. My mind's blown out. I mean, I'm just like, okay, I got to sit down on a rock. I mean, this is just like, whoa. And he's on the clouds, all right? And then he goes up, and then while he's going up, you're just sitting there. I mean, would anybody stop looking up? Who in here is going to sit there and just go, well, that's interesting. Well, anyway, I mean, I'd be sitting there doing this for a while. Are you still seeing him? I don't know. Matthew, you see him? You know, you're sitting there going up there, and all of a sudden, two guys in white, where'd they come from? All right. I guess so. Boy, they're quiet. They're a part Comanche. But, yes.
Do you believe all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
Why do you believe?
Because I have... Because I have faith. And that's all I can tell you, brother. Because I believe that God has done tremendous things in my life. But now I haven't seen anybody ascend straight up or anything. And I haven't two guys in white all of a sudden appear next to me. And if they were, they were probably coming in one of those jackets. But that's another thing.
I'm thinking of my own response to that question.
Okay.
First of all, we must believe that he is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe that, forget the rest of it.
Good point.
And that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
So it begins on the premise that you've got to believe God is.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. We're going to cover that here in just a moment. I'm glad you brought that up. You've made a good point. Thank you. I don't mean, if anybody ever has anything, just raise your hand or throw something at me. But anyway, if you got any comments, please say.
Nobody had the names of these two men?
Not that I know of. Do you have anything? No, okay. If you do, I'd like to know the evidence. All right, so that'd be interesting. Now, these two men are sitting there, and they say, why are you looking up? Now, I was reading Burton Kaufman's commentary on this the other day. And you know, Burton, he had a way of being just sort of direct. But I heard Burton preach two times, matter of fact, at this congregation. And you got to admire the guy. I mean, he was an awesome guy. But he put it like this. He goes, if there's anything, and I could just hear his voice. So excuse me if I sound like I'm trying to imitate him. But anyways, what these men were basically inferring was what all Christians need to hear. Stop standing about and get on with the Lord's work. And I was that's about what he said in his. And I was like, well, yeah, that's pretty much what I think they were trying to say. But there's some emphasis here. Once again, we got to remember, this isn't like just these angels don't appear because, well, they were bored. Hey, let's stop by these guys and just mess with them. You know, because they're already like messed up. You know, they're already like confused. They're already trying to figure out what's going on. Let's just mess with them some more because these humans are so much fun. They showed up there because God gave them a command. And God put in their mouth a message. That's right. And they brought the message. Why he did it with two of them, I'm not sure. Because usually, typically seems like one. There's a couple of places where two show up. But it's just interesting. He shows up at this time with two of them. Significant point. Was there a man named Abram? And there were two, right? And then there's three. Right? So, interesting point there is that, and I'm just going on just like, that's something I'm thinking about. This is so significant in God's plan that he said, you know what? My son just ascended, and I want two angels down there. And I want this recorded in my word because I want people to know that from this time forward there is something significant. And it is my will. So this is something very big, and it's the beginning of the church, the bride of Christ. All right. That's a good point.
Is this just another trick? You know, did he disappear out of here like he did out of the room? And is he going to reappear on the seashore a week from now like he did back before then?
Yep.
And they needed to understand he's not coming back
mm-hmm.
the way that you think he is right now.
Yep.
Because these guys very well might have stood there waiting for him for hours.
Mm-hmm. Or days or weeks or...
Back down here, like we're waiting And now we don't know what to do.
But they were given a... Yep, and I agree with you. And then tells them that, yep, well, you got something you need to go get ready to do. The couple of things I want to share with you here, verses. This ascension was an act performed by God. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, all right? And what was interesting is if you look at... if you go back to Daniel 7, verse 13, it says there, as Daniel was being a prophet, he'd been given a vision, and it says in the King James Version that they brought him near before him, and in the New American Standard it says was presented before him, talking about Jesus, the Messiah. And so the ascension is being talked about all the way back in Daniel chapter 7. And Jesus references this ascension. He calls it the ascension of the Son of Man in John 6:62. And then he talks about being rising up to the Father in John 20, verse 17. So it wasn't, he had given them hints before. He had talked to people. He had mentioned it before. So I think it's real interesting on that side. But there's set apart from the ascension, and we're getting low on time, is a key point for us. All right, the ascension was interesting. All right, that's awesome. All right, we weren't there, but there is something that I truly believe we are going to be there for, and that is his return. Right? Because he will call his saints, and that is us, his church. Right? And it said here that the same way you've seen him go, he's going to come back the same way. Now, Jesus has some key points about that. In his return, he isn't going to be born again as a baby. Jesus was very much about telling them, and he told this many times. He said, "For the Son of Man," in Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." In 26:64 of Matthew, Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." And Jesus also, and if you want to, turn to Matthew chapter 24, because that's the... you've read this before, you've heard it before, and I read through it the other day, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, okay, that can put a chill of reality up your spine. That thing cracks me up. All right. I just want to say you are free to move about the country. All right. So, all right, let's see. All right. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Hey, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." All right. Of course, first thing is, well, how do I know? You know, that's sort of where we're getting to. But a lot of things that Jesus says here, and he gets going in verses 23 through 27. He says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him." He said, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Okay? "Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then in verses 29 through 31, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And when the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now, you know, for a lot of people that can be sort of scary sounding, but you know, when I read that last verse, I went, I'm one of the ones. I'm going to be gathered. I mean, that should be comforting for us. But he's going to come back, and the clouds are once again there. So there's a lot of consistency in the way that Jesus is going to come back. And we know that it's not going to be some guy preaching off in the desert or the wilderness. That isn't the way he's coming back. He's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He won't be preaching in Africa. He won't be preaching in Russia or in China. According to this, everything that I've read, everything that Jesus says, everything that testifies to his people, the holy word of God here, is that when he comes back, well, we will know that it is him. And there will be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is Jesus. Does anybody else see anything different? I mean, I just don't see that. I read it through and I was just like, okay, I'll definitely know. And I think that is a major comfort. I got to go through a couple of questions. And these are some of the questions that I want us to continue to think about and ask ourselves. And I'm going to try and remind us as we go through. Always put yourself in the apostle's sandals, or in the sandals of our brethren in this church that we're about to read about. We got to know what their thoughts are in regards to their feelings, their thoughts, and their beliefs. When you hear the words like Jesus just talked about, is there doubt or fear? Does Jesus provide a very clear understanding of how he will for certain, without a doubt, know that he has returned? There is a seriousness to his return, and that is God's judgment. As Christians, we cannot forget this, because we are to be sharing Christ so that other people will be gathered together. I asked myself these two questions many years ago. One day I was asking myself, well, do you believe in God? Easy answer. I said, yes. But then the next answer wasn't so easy, Bogan. I took the word in out of the question, and I said, do you believe God? And that goes back to what you were pointing out a while ago, Bogan, is do I believe God? It's easy to say you believe in him, but do you believe him? Yeah. And then as this end this up, is your heart completely his? If I appear challenging with these questions, please understand I challenge myself first. This is typical of my studies of God's Word, so that I will do my best to understand His will. And I return once again to 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Strongly support those whose heart are completely His. Christ Jesus, the apostles, and the church, which we're going to be learning about, and the church, which is us. And so I hope that as we do this study, that I can tune you into our heritage and understand that it is a living heritage that we have in Christ Jesus. And thank y'all very much. Now we got to do announcements.